You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's read some scripture from Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," and again, "I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son"? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he said, who makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" There are so many wonderful thoughts when you read through that passage that we could go down numerous rabbit trails. We really could. We could go off on all kinds of thoughts and things. But as we pointed out last time, it is the intention of the writer to the Hebrews to hold forth the supremacy of Christ. That Jesus is better and Jesus is enough. And he lays out, as we shall see when we go through the book, the futility of trying to go back to the old covenant. We shall learn that Jesus is the fulfillment of the old system. And the old system is really a shadow of that which Christ is the reality. And so right at the outset, he points out that God has spoken to us in these last days in Christ. That Christ is the message. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the message. He is the Word, the Logos of God. And now he lays out the truth that he is indeed the incarnation of God himself. And there's none higher and none greater. There's no created being that compares to him. And then indeed, he created the created beings. In fact, all of creation he created. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Again, speaking of the Messiah here, speaking of Jesus, Lord is, of course, the capital letters in your Bible signifying it's Yahweh. Upholds all things. upholding all things by the word of his power. That he is the one who has absolute preeminence. And when it says, when he brings into the world, when he brings the firstborn into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. The firstborn, it's not a reference to him being the first one born as a created being. No, it's rather a reference to one who has preeminence over all. In fact, this passage of Scripture is one of the clearest confirmations of the deity of Christ, that is, that Christ is God, found in all Scripture. So the deity of Christ, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. In the book of Philippians, it tells us there in chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And he's simply saying, Paul is saying, writing to the Philippians, when he talks about being in the form of God, that is, he is the outward expression of the inward nature. The expression of God. The essential essence, not a part of God. I just remember, I won't say his name, but a very famous, he's with the Lord now, I hope, very famous musician, singer, once telling his stories and saying that Jesus was like a little fingernail of God. I thought, and I was only a young Christian, that can't be right. That's not a very good description. No, when he speaks about him being in the form of God, it's not like a like unto, but no, he's the same mold or the essence. And of course, you know that our Lord Jesus had all the right to be revealed in all of his glory or the glory of God, but he emptied himself of the glory, not of his deity, never ceased to be God, and was born, as you know, as a man. And we know that God has spoken in Christ because Christ is God, a Son of God, a God the Son. Christ himself is God's message. God has spoken literally by his Son. This is God's voice. If a person would say, well, God has never spoken. Yeah, he has in Jesus. Very clear. And as the scripture says, he that has a son has life. And some, of course, have tried to deny who Jesus Christ is, merely saying that merely that he's a man or he was a great teacher. When in fact he's revealed as the Word of God, the Logos of God. If a person, and very often the person, people that make that kind of statement, they don't really follow through the logic of what they're saying. Because if they did, they would understand that, no, he wasn't a great teacher. If you deny that he was God manifest in the flesh, he wasn't a good man. He was a charlatan. And more than that, he was a blasphemer. And if you say he was merely a man, then to follow it logically through to its logical conclusion, you have to say that the people that crucified him did right, because they crucified him for blasphemy. They say that they did right then. And so, it's again, people do not follow through the logic of it when they say, well, he was just a good teacher or he was a good man. Not at all. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We shall soon be coming up to Christmas. It'll be here before you know it. And we shall once again read, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," which of course translated means God with us. It's ludicrous to declare that the Lord Jesus Christ was just a great teacher or a great prophet even. No, you can't stop there. Because for a great man, he claims some amazing things. And the book of Hebrews here lays out Christ's eternity, his deity, and his glory. Later on, of course, it lays out his humanity. And talks about him talks about his work at the right hand of God on high, making intercession, seated at the right hand of God. Of course, the Old Testament high priest stood. He's seated. Because of there is one sacrifice, no longer any need to offer any more sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son. And so there's evidence here in these verses that we've read tonight of the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ divine. Now, one of the ways that you can recognize a cult, because they all have it in common, they deny the deity of Christ. They all have that in common. They have another Jesus, make up another Jesus. But you cannot be saved unless you believe that Jesus is God the Son. Son of God, God the Son. I do not believe you can be saved unless you believe that, because you are believing in a different Jesus. Another Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus of Hebrews. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, emptied himself of his right to be revealed of all his glory, put on human life that we might see God and know God and experience him. And there's so much in the scriptures, isn't there, about our Lord Jesus Christ being God manifest in the flesh. First of all, he claimed it. He claimed it. And if one thinks, and some people say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, they haven't read the Bible. They haven't read the gospel, and especially the gospel of John, and John chapter 10, where he speaks about, I am the Father of one. And several places in that gospel, the Jews took up stones to throw at him. Not because they didn't like his teaching. You know? Boo, bad teaching, get him off. No. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead? And the prophets are dead. And then they say, whom do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are? That's what they were saying. They were saying, who do you think you are? And another place they said, you being man, make yourself out to be God. Who do you think you are? That's what I thought when I first read John's gospel, before I was regenerated, when I was reading it with the natural mind. The natural mind does not comprehend the things of the Spirit. And I was reading the gospel of John. I often tell you about how Pastor Howard witnessed to me, but there was another fella in my factory who, he wasn't really as on fire as Howard. He was a Baptist. I didn't mean that to sound so bad as that, but. But I believe he was a Christian, and he, with Howard, you know, he would meet, and the Lord would just come out. He would just come out in the conversation with this other fella, because I got interested. I sort of had to prize it out of him to tell me, you know, I had to kind of get him going to tell me about Christ. I still remember some of the things he said, you know. I said, well, how do we know that Christ rose from the dead? And he simply said, well, if he didn't, they would have proved it then. Way back then, they would have proved that he didn't. You know. And he said some good things to me, and he gave me a book to read. I don't remember to this day what the book was. I wish I could remember it. It was a great book. In the middle of the book, it tells you to put down the book and read the Gospel of John. In the middle of the book. I mean, what author tell you to do that? Put my book down now and read the Gospel of John. Well, I did. And I read through it and I thought, just like what these fellas say here, who do you think you are, God? That's where I thought when I read the Gospel of John. And if you don't read it with the spiritual mind, with a regenerated mind, you are going to look at it and say, this guy's claiming to be God, man. Who do you think he is? And then, of course, you begin to see that he was saying that because he is. And Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he's your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. I didn't pull any punches either, did he? But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to throw at him. Jesus went, hid himself, and when he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. And of course, you know how Jesus, using the very, very same words that the Lord God Yahweh used when Moses asked him, when he was going to send him on his mission, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Tell me I am sent you. Jesus used the exact same words. And they picked up stones. They didn't pick up stones because he was claiming to exist before Abraham. No. For that, they just probably thought, this guy's crazy. You don't pick up stones to throw one because he's claiming to be, existed before Abraham. No, they picked up stones because he was claiming to be God. And they knew it. They knew it. And of course, this caused great division. It caused much division because of his claim, and it has from then till now. Some believed, some accused him of blasphemy, and this was the whole division between the people. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. To as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. When it talks about receiving him there, it's not talking about asking Jesus into your heart. It's talking about receiving him as the Son of God and all that he is. That's what it means. And so, an honest reader of the New Testament cannot deny that Jesus claimed to be God. In the book of Isaiah, it says, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. Then in Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, O Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there's no God. So, he's saying, I'm the I am there, not just the first and the last, but the I am. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus just says the same thing. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and the first and the last. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And so, there are a total of 16 names used of Jesus in the Scriptures, implying his deity, and they're used hundreds of times. There's no doubt at all that Jesus claimed it. And then when you think about him in regard to him being God, you got to think about his power. The kind of power that's ascribed to Christ, only God can have that kind of power. Well, here in Hebrews, it tells us that he's the one upholds all things. How's this world keep on going? Only because he holds it together. He just had to let go and all fly apart. Upholds all things. It's inconceivable that any created being could uphold all things. Now, even Michael, the great archangel, is limited. We know that angels are limited. You have to be God to uphold all things. You got to be pretty powerful to be able to do that. To hold it all together. Only God is all powerful. And you look at his life. all the healings, the raising of the dead, the elements themselves subject to him, the wind and the water subject to his voice. You think of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You know the story, how he came to the house of Mary and Martha at Bethany, and he was late, according to them. Our brother's already dead. Oh, roll back. I'm going to roll back the stone. No, wait, no. He stinketh. That's what the King James says. Lord, you can't do that. He stinketh. Well, he came forth smelling like a rose. And the demons subject to him wherever he went. Forces of evil. Anybody reading the scripture would have to say, wait a minute. Whoever this person is, he has to be God to uphold all things and do the things that he does. But God also has to be all-knowing. You look at Jesus. What is it? Well, he seems like he knew everybody's secrets. Many times it's shown that he knew what was in the heart of men. Knew what they were thinking before they spoke it. Jeremiah 1:17 says, 1:7, I think, oh no, chapter 17 says, only God knows the heart of man. Remember, he saw Nathanael under the tree. He knew about Judas. He told him where they were where to go to get the room for the Passover, where to find the donkey. Well, he even knew where the fish were and didn't need a fish finder. And he knew the individual fish, the ones with the coins in the mouth. I never caught one with a coin in his mouth. I do remember Pastor Mark playing a trick on us at the Galilee when we went over the Galilee there. First trip Mark went on to Israel and went with us. And we went to this fish restaurant where they have what they call St. Peter's fish. I think they're just big tilapia. I think that's what they are. And they cook them with a head and a tail on and everything. And Mark's such a joker. He puts a credit card in its mouth. After he's eaten it, of course. He puts a credit card in its fish's mouth and brings it over to my plate. He says, look what I've caught. Well, you think you're trying to go one further than Jesus here or something? And so he knew. And Peter knew that. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He says, Lord, you know all things. The confession of Peter saying, Lord, you know all things. So we have to conclude that Jesus is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. He said, Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. With each believer. And then you have to understand that in the scripture, immutability is ascribed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same and your years will not fail. The Hebrews chapter 1 verse 12 that we read just now. And then, of course, when we get to chapter 13 verse 8, we shall read Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes, that's immutability. There's much more, isn't there? You speak about his divine offices. We talk again about creations. Lord, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. All things were made through him, and not without him nothing was made that was made. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. We could talk about him As they said to him, what right do you have to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. The forgiveness of sins. But to me, one of the most undeniable evidences of him being God is the fact that he received worship. He received worship. There in Hebrews 1, God says, when he bring the first morning to the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Luke, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, if you know your scripture, you know that good men and angels refused worship. When people tried to worship them, they refused worship. But he's better than angels and better than men. And angels and men of God, likewise, all alike, were horrified when people tried to worship them. And in Revelation chapter 19, John writes, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. This is an angel. John's falling at his feet to worship him. Revelation 19:10. See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John tried to worship his angel here. No. Paul, don't worship us. But Jesus accepted worship. And Jesus knew only God was to be worshipped. Satan came to him and said, all these things I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And in Revelation, when they take him the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's worship, isn't it? That's worship. And of course, one day all will worship him as God. At that time, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those of heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. And then lastly here, number 7, you want to argue with all that? Jehovah's Witnesses, you want to argue with all that? I mean, I think he would have gone home by now or whatever, if you're Jehovah's Witness, of course. Because you won't be here. But number 7, God declares him to be the Son of God, God the Son. God calls him God. You want to sit around and argue this thing? Take it up with the Lord God Almighty. Because he says, but the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Quoted from Psalm 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, scepter of righteousness, scepter of your kingdom. Inescapable. Isn't it? It really is. So a summary of what we've said tonight. By the use of the numerous divine names ascribed to Christ. By ascribing all of the divine attributes to Christ. By statements in the Old Testament that refer distinctly to Yahweh being ascribed to Jesus in the New Testament. by the clear teaching in the scriptures that Jesus should be worshipped and was worshipped, and by the power that he demonstrated. And God in his word, God himself distinctly proclaimed that Jesus Christ is God. We don't understand how. How can he be fully man and fully God? Remember this. Do you understand that? I don't understand it. You know why you don't understand it?
Because I'm thick.
No. No. Because it hasn't been revealed to you. You only get, oh, I get it. Yeah, you get it because it's revealed to you. It hadn't been revealed to me. If it had been revealed to you, would you please explain it to me? Fully. Well, you can have a shot at it, but fully. I don't try to fathom it. He didn't tell me to figure it all out. He just told me to believe it. Tell me to figure it all out. It's not that our faith doesn't have logic, or it's not that our faith doesn't have evidence. It's not that our faith isn't something that you can reason. Yes, it is. But there are certain parts of it that you can't reason. And it doesn't matter if you have a mind like C.S. Lewis or Ravi Zacharias, you still can't reason some of these things. You won't know till you get to glory. I think about Pastor Chuck in glory. He always used to say, and I've copied him before now, several times, but he always used to say that he has a file up here, awaiting further revelation, because there's many things he didn't understand. That file's closed for him. Mine's still open. But one last warning, and scripture really teaches us that whoever refuses to accept Christ as his divine Savior and Lord is guilty of the most erroneous sin of rejecting God. And that's blasphemy. Again, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is God, and Jesus is enough. Father, thank you for your word tonight and such clarity in this wonderful book. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us things that you have ordained would be revealed, and help us to have faith and trust you for the things that you've not yet revealed to us. Thank you, Lord, so much for the revelation you've given us, and help us to live it and, Lord, govern our lives accordingly into what you've revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Malcolm Wild. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Malcolm's teaching ministry by visiting ccmerrittisland.org.